and welcome to episode 36 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on July 16th, 2011. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imaginations of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I am your host and narrator, Miss Mal. We've been noticing lately how our children have been attempting to solve their own problems before they come to us. We always remind the kids when they're trying to figure out how something works to stop and think about it. Take a deep breath and take your time. Think about the things you've tried in the past that may work to solve this new challenge. Talking it out and trying it out helps. If it doesn't work then, try something new. One quick note about the story you're about to hear. This one has a mean, nasty troll in it. So if you think that might give you the heebie-jeebies, this might be a good one to skip. The following story, The Farm Girl and the Feather, was written by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. As you listen to the story, consider the following. What problem have you solved recently? The Farm Girl and the Feather by Chris and Melissa Bouguet.
"I choose the spinning axe of triumph," shouted the knight, her voice echoing through the armory like a ballista. "It's the newest, finest, most magical weapon that anyone has ever laid eyes upon. I'd be a fool not to choose it."
Two squires picked the axe up off the hooks of the armory wall and brought it to the knight. With the back of her hand, she motioned them away, and the squires backpedaled into the surrounding crowd. The knight swung the huge axe over her head in an arc, and then twirled it in the air. She snarled like an angry badger as she set into a series of militaristic motions, mimicking a mock battle. The axe glowed white, leaving a trail of radiant light in its wake as it sliced through the air. With each swipe of the axe, the burly knight bellowed, "Huh!" and "Ho!" and "Huh!" When she was done, she slammed the hilt down on the ground and exclaimed, "This is the weapon that will slay the troll!" The crowd cheered their approval with excited calls of, "Kill the troll!" and "Monsters beware!" The queen, a stout woman with her hair pulled into a tight bun, shuffled forward and bid silence. As the crowd's murmurs subsided, she said, "Are you sure this is your choice? Of all the weapons in the armory, you believe the axe of triumph will be the weapon to slay the foul beast that eats our livestock, raids our villages, and tramples our crops?" "Of course I do," the knight said, bowing before her queen. "With this axe in my hands, victory is assured, and I will claim the reward."
"Indeed," the queen said, conveying both confidence and curiosity. "For your sake, the sake of the kingdom, and the sake of my son the prince, who will some day be king, I bid you luck. For if you defeat the beast, the celebration will surely be grand, but that will be but a drop in the well when compared to the celebration we will have when you marry my son."
The prince took two awkward steps forward, removed his feather hat, and nodded at the mention of his title. Sweat beaded on his forehead as he looked at the woman in front of him. Her eyes seemed to be unnaturally close together, separated by a rounded nose that looked like a warped strawberry which sat on a face that was as wide as a watermelon. It reminded the prince of a warthog he had once chased as a child, except the warthog did not have a hideous scar along its left cheek. "Good luck," he said weakly, nervousness stampeding like runaway horses. I hope you don't die," he finished quickly, fingers twirling the brim of his hat. The knight scoffed, snorting through her nose. The indignant sound sent a clear message that crawled up the prince's spine, which simply said, "When I marry you, I will be queen, and you will do what I say. The prince trembled at the thought, but resisted the urge to run far, far away. Instead, he nodded politely and slinked back to his mother.
"Now, before we adjourn, I will call upon the court one last time," the queen announced. "Is there not another who would like to choose a weapon with which to beat the troll and earn the prize of marrying my son?"
"Of course there isn't," the knight shouted, pumping the axe in the air. "I have the best weapon, and I cannot fail." The crowd erupted into cheers and raucous calls of, "Trounce the troll," and "The axe of triumph will be triumphant." The prince was the first to hear the tiny voice trying to cut its way through the bluster of excitement.
"I'd like to choose," he thought it said. It was faint, barely audible, but he swore in his father's grave that he had heard it. Then it came again, louder. "I'd like to choose."
"If there is no one else," the queen called over the crowd, "then we shall wait this knight's return with the news of the troll's demise."
The prince heard the voice for a third time, its sweetness ringing in his ear.
"I'd like to choose."
Grabbing his mother's coat, he whispered into her ear, "I think I hear another." Shocked, the queen waved her hands to signal silence, and the commotion subsided.
"I'd like to choose,"
came the voice echoing off the walls like a chorus of chiming bells. The crowd behind the knight parted, and a teenage girl came through. Her hands were folded in front of her like a monk in prayer. She wore dusty, tattered robes and faded brown sandals covered in dirt from the field. Her skin was tanned, no doubt from hours of toil in the sun on a farm tending crops. Her black, shoulder-length hair looked like it had been cut with a sharp rock. In places, it was matted as if it had never been touched by a brush. Her eyes were cast down upon the stone floor in front of her, as if the sight of the queen would blind her. Once beside the knight, she made her proclamation again.
"I'd like to choose."
At the sight of the farm girl before him, the prince's heart began bucking in his chest.
"You are no warrior," the knight spat. "What chance have you? I have the armor, I have the skill, and most of all, I have the axe."
"I'd like to choose,"
the girl said, her gaze fixed to a spot on the floor, her voice steady as an ox pulling a plow. The queen nodded and said,
"You do understand the task at hand, my child. You are choosing a weapon to face a ferocious creature not seen in these lands since my husband was a very young man. Once you choose a weapon, you'll have to hunt the creature down with it. Are you sure you are up to such a task?"
The girl nodded and said,
"Yes, my lady, I'd like to choose."
"So be it," said the queen, stepping aside and motioning toward the wall of arms. "Choose."
Looking up, the girl pointed toward the prince and said,
"I choose the prince's hat."
A wave of mutterings rose from the crowd. Stunned, the queen shouted,
"Do not be so bold as to waste your queen's time. Now choose a real weapon, or be removed from this room."
"My lady," the girl questioned, "you said I can choose any weapon in the armory. Is that not so?"
"Indeed," the queen said, slamming her tongue to the roof of her mouth.
"Then I choose the prince's hat," the girl said, gesturing to the purple pointed hat the prince fiddled with in his hands.
"You wish to have my son's cap?" the queen asked, confused. "This is no game, my child."
"That is my choice," the girl said with confidence. "You said any weapon in the armory. The hat is in the armory."
"Indeed," the queen said, motioning to the two squires. "It is certainly an odd choice, but it is your choice to make. Give the girl the cap."
The two squires shambled forward, taking their place at the prince's sides. The prince grinned at the girl, inwardly hoping she knew what she was doing, and handed his hat to one of the squires who marched it forward.
Bending down on one knee, he presented the hat to the girl. Once in her hands, she turned it over, inspecting it. She ran her fingers across the lone feather jutting backward from the brim.
"It's a peacock feather," the prince offered. "My father gave it to me as a present when I was very young. It holds great value to me. Please see it is returned to me intact, if you will."
The young prince's lips quivered with hope more than anxiety.
"You're a fool," the bullish knight chortled. "Put that away and go home before you get killed."
The girl ignored the jibe and instead tucked the hat into her robes.
"I will take good care of it," she said to the prince with a slight curtsy.
"Are you sure you do not want a sword or spear or lance or even a dagger, dear?"
the queen said, finding a hidden pocket of patience.
"We have many other fine weapons to choose from."
"I'm sure," the girl said, "this will do."
The knight and the girl left the next morning, meeting at the gate of the castle. According to reports from some of the neighboring villages, the troll made its home in a cave in the forest just north of the castle. The journey was about a day's walk. The girl walked alongside the knight, but neither spoke a word to each other. The knight broke the silence when they reached a mound of boulders outside the entrance to the cave.
"The troll is in there,"
the barbarian knight said, pointing to the mouth of the cave with her new axe.
"I can smell him. Stay here, out of my way, so you don't get hurt. I don't want to have to worry about saving you while I'm killing the beast."
The girl looked forward, not saying a word.
"Good then," the knight said. "Stay here while I charge."
The knight took off, axe raised, running straight into the darkness. The girl heard loud grunts and heavy breathing coming from the cave, but the darkness made it impossible to see what was happening inside. In a matter of seconds, however, the battle was over. The girl heard metal clang on rock, followed by a series of thuds, and ending with what sounded like a splash of water. Then there was silence. Without warning, the axe of triumph shot from the cave. It sailed over the girl and crashed into a fir tree, splitting it in two before becoming lodged in a chunk of granite. The girl stood up from her position behind the boulder, facing the cave entrance, and walked forward. The knight had the light of the axe to help guide her into the darkness. The girl, hands folded in front of her, marched into the cave, holding nothing. Once inside, the light dissipated, swallowed by the darkness. The stench of wet rot permeated the air. The girl marched onward, into the filth and the vile smell, unfazed, concentrating on her task. After walking a few hundred yards, the cave widened into a larger chamber. Inside, patches of moss surrounded lime-green gemstones that gave off a dull luminescence. Shadows from the faint glow of the crystals were frozen like paintings on the wall. As she stepped in the room, the girl heard the rush of water. A few more steps revealed an underground river flowing through the center of the chamber. The turbulent water rushed from an opening in the cave wall, ran through the middle of the floor, and disappeared into another dark opening. In places, it tumbled over jagged rocks, causing a swell of rapids, the sound of the water crashing onto itself as it careened over the rocks echoed through the chamber. There, with her feet in the river, was the knight, her back propped against a stalagmite. She sat, stunned, blinking her eyes repeatedly, trying to clear the cobwebs. The girl was about to call to the knight when she felt warm breath tickle the back of her neck. It was thick and moist, like a dog panting on a hot summer day. Calmly, the girl turned around to face the creature. The troll glared down at her with fiery red eyes. Its long pointed nose was covered with bulbous mounds of black and green boils. Clumps of brownish sludge covered its blistered dark green skin. Vapor streamed from its nostrils. It grinned, showing its rotten teeth. The girl unfolded her hands and said,
"I have something for you."
The creature stood, waiting, hands ready to strike. The girl placed her hands in her robes and removed the prince's hat. Slowly, she raised the cap into the air over her head, offering it to the troll. The troll's eyes locked onto the hat, and its face changed. The dastardly grin turned into a bright smile. It began clapping its hands and stomping its feet. It looked like a child receiving an unexpected present. The girl rotated the hat clockwise, the fabric sliding between her fingers. Then, with a ginger touch, she plucked the feather from the hat and let it slide into the sleeve of her robe. The troll hardly noticed, its gaze transfixed on the purple gift as it bounced up and down. "For you," the girl said, offering the hat to the troll again. The troll's hands, each one twice the size of the girl's, encircled the cap. "For you," she repeated assuredly, as the troll took hold of the hat. It examined it for a moment, as if to take in its size and color, and then raised its arms to place it on its head. The girl, seeing her opening, made her move. In one fluid motion, she reached into her sleeve and pulled out the peacock feather. Then she waved the feather back and forth and up and down in the troll's exposed armpit. The troll howled in laughter and reflexively brought its arm down. When it did, the girl switched hands and tickled the troll's other armpit. The troll bellowed again, shaking the entire cave, and slammed its arm to its side. Like a ballerina, the girl leapt behind the troll and tickled him with the peacock feather in every place she could reach. The troll's laugh was like thunder echoing off the walls. It twisted to face the girl, hooting heartily and uncontrollably as it did so. The girl wiggled the feather under its chin and then on the side of its neck. When the troll threw up its hands to cover its neck, the girl assaulted his armpits once again. Back and forth, his arms flew up and down, and the intensity of his laughter grew until he dropped the hat. With one kick, the girl sent the hat flying between the troll's legs and onto the bank of the river, the brim dipping into the edge of the water. The troll, tears in its eyes from laughing so hard, spotted the purple flash between its legs and leapt for it. It landed on its belly, stretching out for its new prize. It cradled the hat with its massive hands, snatching it from the brink. The girl took two steps forward, showed the troll the peacock feather, and then used it to tickle the bottom of its feet. The troll howled in more laughter and rolled over to get away from the feathery onslaught. It toppled into the river with a giant splash. The strong current swept the creature downstream and out of sight, forever lost in an underground water slide. When the girl and the knight returned to the castle, they were met with much fanfare. Trumpets sounded when they saw their approach, and a crowd rushed out to meet them. A squire ran off to alert the queen and the prince of their return. They were issued to the great hall, where the court's physician attempted to examine the knight. Of course, the knight refused, pushing him away, stating that her head was fine and that she had experienced much worse in the past. When the queen arrived, she took her place on the throne. The prince stood beside her. She waved a hand to silence the crowd and said, "Well, brave knight, tell me, were you successful in your quest? Has the troll been defeated?" The knight stepped forward and said, "Aye, my queen, the troll is no more." Cheers burst from the crowd like steam from a geyser. The queen allowed the people their moment of celebration and then waved her hands to silence them once again. "Congratulations, good knight! You were true to your word, and as a prize, you will become the future queen once you marry my son." The prince swallowed hard and looked at his toes, wishing he could crawl between the cracks in the floor. "Nay," said the knight, "I cannot. It was not me who vanquished the troll. It was the girl." The surprised murmurs from the crowd filled the chamber. The prince nearly fainted with relief. The queen looked astonished, but regained her composure quickly. The knight shouted over the crowd, "She saved my life!" The knight continued, recounting the story of how she charged into the cave, clobbered by the troll, and was doomed to be its next meal. She explained how the girl used the hat to trick the troll and the feather to tickle the troll until it fell into the drink. She showed great courage and even greater wisdom, the knight said, looking at the queen, but nodding at the girl. I can learn much from her.
Come forward, the queen said, beckoning to the girl.
The girl, hands once again folded in front of her, took two steps forward. She reached into her sleeve and pulled out the feather. Like she did for the troll, she held the feather up and offered it back to the prince. The prince nearly squealed with delight. Behind her black hair, the girl grinned too.
Let it be known, declared the queen, that my son, the prince, will be wed to this farm girl named...
The queen trailed off, realizing she didn't know the girl's name.
What is the name of my future daughter-in-law?
The queen asked. The girl looked up and said, My name is Millicent. We hope you enjoyed the story. We'd like to send out bright birthday wishes to Sierra O. of Massachusetts, who is turning 6, Sean O. of Massachusetts, who is turning 3, Olivia M., who is turning 2, Mitchell, who is turning 9, Emily B. of New York, who is turning 7, Kelly P. of West Virginia, who is turning 40, Holland G., who is turning 3, Olivia G., who is turning 7, MJ of Massachusetts, who is turning 35, Mike U of Philadelphia, who is turning 6, Uncle Brian of New York, Brooke P, who is turning 4, and Lucy P, who is turning 2, Mitchell, who is turning 9, Braden B of New York, who will be turning 4, and Tucker B of the Nightlight Stories household, who is turning 6. We hope your day sparkled. We're still posting our fun summer resources over at the Facebook page. Come join us and share all your creative, silly, and illuminating ideas. One quick activity to get you started is to share your favorite Nightlight story with a friend or family member. Tell them about nightlightstories.net or show them how to subscribe on iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas would really appreciate it if you would leave a review on iTunes. The more positive reviews Nightlight Stories gets, the easier it becomes for other people to find it on iTunes. Enjoy the rest of your summer. And as always, we look forward to the many stories we can share together.